Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Between the Lines on Blog Talk Radio, the show where authors, coaches, and entrepreneurs can gather ready-to-apply tips, how-tos, and resources on writing, publishing, and marketing your books and business. Get advice from experts in the book marketing industry, best-selling authors, and successful entrepreneurs right here on Between the Lines. And now, here's your host, Corinne LaFont, your online book marketing specialist.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Today's episode is the first of a three-part series discussion on retirement and lifestyle planning. Part 2 and 3 will be held on January 24th and 31st, respectively, so make sure you don't miss those. In today's episode, we will discuss retirement financial lifestyle planning based on each decade of life that one goes through, for example, your 20s, your 30s, and so on. Magdalena Cooper de Neus commenced her life insurance career in 1985 and have had opportunities to contribute to the insurance industry in St. Lucia, Turks and Caicos, and Cayman. Over the years, pensions has become one of her specialist areas in the life insurance industry. In 2008, she had the opportunity to become a partner in Milestones and Lifestyle Planning Services, which provides pre-retirement financial and lifestyle planning services for individuals, families, and employer-employee groups. She is a promising author with an ebook on the way centered on retirement planning titled Oops, I Forgot to Save for Retirement, which will be launched in the coming weeks. At the end of this episode, you are encouraged to sign up for a free excerpt from the book, which includes a downloadable copy of a last will and testament form with guidelines. Magda is a mother of two sons, a grandmother of seven-year-old James, and she wants you to know that on July 6th, 2016, she will attain the NIS age to claim old age pension. Welcome, Magda, to Between the Lines, Empowering Authors.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I do like the theme of your program, Between the Lines, because that's what pensions is all about. That's why it's been so difficult to understand, because it's a Between the Lines benefit. Online with me is also Sandra, the other partner in Milestones and Lifestyle Planning. But good to be on the program.
Oh, great. Welcome, Sandra. Can you hear me?
Hello, everyone.
Great to have you, Sandra. All right. My apologies to the listening audience first to begin, because we had a bit of technical difficulties. The show should have been at 1:30, but there were some serious technical difficulties, but I had to jump quickly on that and get it scheduled for 2 p.m., just half an hour later, so I hope you still stick around with us. We would love to have you, and of course, there's always the archive shows that you can always listen at your own convenience and from wherever you're most comfortable. So let's get right into it.
But, you know, Corinne, I want to make a comment there. Those technical difficulties also tells us that when you're doing retirement financial planning, there are technical difficulties, and you still have to wade through all of it and get to, and continue doing what you had hoped to be doing. So it's a great lesson for everybody.
Exactly. And the good thing about it is always to bounce back, and that's what we're doing now.
Yep.
We're bouncing back right into it.
Yes.
So let's get a little bit into it, Magda. Now, I like the last part of the introduction where we said that you have your two sons and your grandchildren, and you're going to be at that NIS age in 2016. Now, we are both parents, and we have people who are parents listening to the show. And we're talking about planning from the 20s, 30s, and so on. Normally, people always think of retirement like when you reach old age. We don't think about it from in the 20s and 30s. Why are you trying to tell persons now that they need to start from early as 20s?
Well, the reason for that is that, first of all, the definition of retirement, anybody can retire at any point in time. And what I found was that when I joined the industry, the life insurance industry in Jamaica in 1985, people spoke about retirement only in the terms of our old age. And I said, but that couldn't be, because when I looked at the trust deed and rules and so on, it also showed disability and death. So it means then that that it's those three life events that should cause you to start planning for retirement, because I've had friends who their son, a friend of mine, her son became disabled at age 25. So
wow.
It meant that if they didn't have anything in place for him, he would not have been able to retire and still have an income through his disability period he's going through now. So retirement really needs to start from your from when you're age 18. That is from Jamaican law. In Jamaican law, age 18, you're classified as an adult, and therefore you should go and get your NIS, NHT. And this would apply to anybody else in, around the world who is listening. You need to go and find out what is your age for adult, when you become an adult legally. And therefore, it cannot be just when you start your first job. It has to be when the law says you're an adult. Because what happened is between 18 and, say, 65 or 60 or 70 or 80, lots of things can happen. You can have ill health. You can have a disability. You can die and leave your family a lot of debt. It will be what you have saved up that will help to clear your debts and so on. Because if you look at a will, it also says you have to clear the person's debts. So it means that the planning has to start from that age.
Now, hold on there. You know, Magda, we don't normally think about any would you call that, situation that things could go wrong. We are young, we are fresh.
Yes.
We are young, we are fresh. Mm-hmm. We're not thinking about, are we going to live forever? You know, nothing is going to happen to us. And do you think that is the thinking behind why people don't take retirement and planning seriously?
I, you are quite right, because even for myself, when I look back on my 20s, was I ever going to get to be 63 and be old like my grandmother when she died at 65? Oh, no. But I'm there now, and I'll soon be there and heading on to 65. And I think it's that thinking that we at Milestones are trying to change. When you need to start, and you have to look at it realistically. But what needs to happen is that if you have parents leading the churn that way, then it'll automatically fall into place. But if you don't have parents behaving that way and therefore guiding their children, then that will always be the issue or problem in terms of planning and also generational wealth and how to manage it, what to do, and so on.
So then we should be really targeting the parents then, who will then pass it on to their children and create a habit. Because right now the parents aren't doing anything. So we, you know, it is really to target the folks that are not making the move so that they would learn from their experience and pass it on to their kids. Is that correct?
That's correct. And also, the other side of the spectrum now is to really get the kids, when they turn 18, that you take them down to the NIS office or the state benefits office, if your other global listeners are on, and let them go and enroll and become aware of what's happening. Because what usually happens as well is that when a parent becomes disabled or dies or becomes old, eligible for retirement, most of the children don't know what to do. They say, boy, mama and papa need this. Boy, why do you need that? I don't have no money for that and so on, because it's never discussed. It's never looked at in a holistic way. And so you find that a lot of money is lost because people end up getting advice from family members who really want the money for themselves. You know what
right.
I mean? So you find that it is not done properly. So we need to really encourage those at the top end, which is the parents and so on, and those who are turning 18 and welcome them into adulthood by letting them go and enroll and get their ID numbers and so on for these particular benefits. So I think that's a very good point you brought up, and I think it's very critical that we do that. And that's why we're glad to be in between the lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're happy to have you. I have an 18-year-old.
What
are the things you would recommend that I need to tell him to do or help him along in order to make sure that we have things in place? And we're going through the decades. So let's take it one at a time. Using me as an example with my son, because there would be people listening to this who would have teenagers and 20s, and of course there might be parents in their 30s and 40s. So let's start with me as an example with my 18-year-old. What would you tell me to do or advise me to do for my 18-year-old?
Okay, so you live in Jamaica. So the first thing I would say is that you go to the office on Ripon Road in Kingston, and you enroll him under NIS. when he gets the NIS number, he automatically gets the benefit. He can then enroll on the NHT, which is National Housing Trust, because those are the two state benefits where the law says that everybody who is employed must contribute. And for people like your son, then they would then have like a flat rate contribution that they can do. It gives him the opportunity to get exposed to these things. So like, for instance, if when he goes to work, he sees that no NIS is on his pay statement, he will say, but something wrong here. And he can then put in place what needs to be done. Or if he starts his own business, he will know what to do. So it really is critical that when a child becomes 18, as the law is in Jamaica, or where whatever the law says in whatever country it is from the other listeners, that they go and get those kids informed and enrolled into those plans. It is critical. Even if they can't make the contributions, it is critical that the child understands. Because if the parent dies or becomes disabled, at least the child can say, oh, you know, I think Mama used to contribute to NIS, so let me go down and see what benefit there is for her, or let me go and see what benefit is there for my dad, or a grandmother, or somebody in the community. But this thing about us feel we always have to be putting our pockets in to help somebody else in the community is really not worth it if you really are spending the time to educate ourselves as a family, as individuals, and also employer-employee groups.
But, you know, I'm talking from a parent perspective with my 18-year-old.
Yes.
This may be the situation with a lot of other parents. I mean, he's 18, you know, why do I need to spend money, or why does he have to put money into something and he's not getting any benefits? No, that's money that could be used into something.
But that's not the point. The point is that all of us have to contribute to NIS, and we don't know when we'll need the benefit. But we know that the benefit will be payable in the event of disability, old age, and death. We don't know. We know when, if you live long enough, we know you'll get to old age. But disability and death are also things that require income for survivors and for the person who is disabled, for disability. So it means that he needs to be, you know, I think the Jews have a thing called bar mitzvah, I think it's called?
Yes, yes.
That is his bar mitzvah, which all of us in the Caribbean need to recognize and do for our children. We need to do that to get them educated. We can't have another generation going into adult life and, boy, them not know, and them see the payslip and all the interest in it, how much money they get to go and spend on a party or whatever else have you. No, we've been there, done that. It hasn't worked because we're in 2014 and we're still looking at the discussion about poverty. How could that be?
Yes.
2,000 years on. There must be money sitting down from somewhere that nobody's collecting. Why we are at the stage that we're at. So I'm saying if we can start educating our people, then you'll find that those children will come up with some creative ways and ask certain questions like, so, Mommy, didn't my grandmother have the same thing? What did you do with the money? You understand what I'm making? It starts a discussion. It gives them, because this is hands-on experience, education, and knowledge. This is not necessarily getting in any book, because there are very few books written on the area that we understand here in the Caribbean and most other countries. So you find that experience helps him, and then he can help others. Does that make sense?
Of course. But I want to kind of throw in a little spoke in your wheel. I'm going to be like the little advocate, devil's advocate here, throwing you all the questions or things that people will say. So, you know, another thing that persons may say is, you know, why do we have to? That's not going to happen. When the situation comes up, we'll deal with it. So if it's a disability or whatever, we'll find the money when the time comes.
That's a great answer. But guess what? Experience has shown that doesn't work, because what happens is that whatever little money comes in, people fight over it rather than dealing with the issue, which is upon death, what you want is the survivors of that family to have income. Not have a money to go and spend and da-da-da, but to have income, because poverty is really based on a person or individual not having income. Death is supposed to bring newness of life, which is income for the survivors. Death is not supposed to make everybody else dying, feeling out of sorts. Death is supposed to bring you newness, a new era. Yes, we're sorry the person has died. Yes, we mourn. Yes, we go through that, but it's supposed to bring era. But you have to have a sense of wisdom. You know, a friend of mine said to me recently, remember, Magda, everything has an expiry date. So it's just part of life. But how we manage it as survivors, how we manage it in terms of when we are active and working is key. So it's not that, yes, you won't find the money at that time. But when you find that money, what next? I remember when my grandmother died. And I was a kid at about 10 in Trinidad. I didn't know what next to do. I didn't have a clue. Nobody talked about it. And next thing I knew, my aunt came to live with us. And then, I left and went to England before I became an adult of 18. But when she died, nobody knew what really happened, what happened to her bank. Well, I don't know what happened to her bank account, if there was any money to pay for her funeral expenses. I don't know, because it was never discussed.
Right.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it needs to be discussed. And the sooner we discuss it, rather than leaving it to chance, then the better off we will be.
So we touched on the pre-20. So what should somebody do when they pass the age of 18 and let's say they're in their 20s or 30s? What's the step they should take?
Okay, the steps that they should really be looking at is really looking at putting their things in place, documenting it, ensuring they know where it's going to be at. Because usually in your 20s and 30s, you're also looking at things like how you're going to improve your career. Am I correct? How you're going to improve your career, what next you're going to be doing. What I have found is that, like, even for myself as my own example, is that when you're thinking of changing careers or changing employers and moving, changing countries as well, you need to know what benefits you have left in one place and what you're going to add on to it in the next place. So keeping track of what happens with your benefits as they have accumulated. There are a number of people who have come back home from living abroad, Canada, the U.S., England, and so on. And many of them who look at me and say, boy, Magda, things are hard in maritime. And I said, did you claim your benefit from those countries? No. You've got to put those things in place. You've got to know what you're having. So as you get older, you have some kind of structure for that. It's not just a matter of building wealth in a word, but it's building wealth indeed. And therefore, you must put your things together. That's the key point that I want the listeners to get into that.
Okay.
Because a life event doesn't change.
Right. So you're saying, okay, once you reach your 20s, 30s, and 40s, it's really to basically have a structure in place. Even starting from your pre-20s to start a discussion. In other words, start the conversation. Start opening up, building an awareness. Sensitizing your members. That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Basically, start asking questions. What happened to this? What happened to that? What do we need to do so that we don't fall into this same trap? That's what you're saying.
That's correct.
Okay,
yes.
So let's say for those of us, who haven't done any of that and we're in our 40s, 50s, and 60s, what in heaven's name do we do now?
Well, what you now have to do is sit down and take time and do just that. And you may find what I have found for the people who have helped to actually sit down and do that, they have got tons of money. Because one of the things I like to say I do for people is I help them find money that they never thought they had. So if you can go back and say, I worked in Timbuktu between 2001 and, or 1999 and 2001, you can say, well, but I think I contributed to state benefits. Let me find out. And you find a lot of people are now getting money and being very happy with it. In fact, usually when they get the money and they see me next time, they run past fast. Because they don't want to tell me how much money they've got. So, it's how do you go back? And we need a system of going back to find out what it is we had from age 18. What did we accumulate? Because, Corinne, let me tell you, I do not believe that people who are living in 2014 are poor. I don't know. In my spirit, it says something is wrong. And that's why we do what we do at Milestones, to ensure people get that help. And we have been seeing the results. People are coming back and saying to us, now I'm telling my friend, you remember we used to walk around the streets of London and New York and Paris and Rome, we worked there. Why don't you claim? And then those friends are saying, guess what? I got my money. So it means then that it is there. It's just a matter of how we go and find it and get it. So you just need to go back to...
So what are some of the things that you would do? What are some of the things that you would do with persons to help them to find it? Because that's what we really want to get down to. Let's say that we're in...
Okay, the first thing is they need to write down a list of all the places where they worked and the countries that they worked. That's the first thing you do.
Okay.
That's the very first thing you do. Because don't forget, a lot of these benefits are accumulated due to being a participant, a contributor to these plans anywhere in the world, because most countries in the world are members of the ILO, International Labour Organization, and most countries, in order to get aid and all these sort of things, you have to be a member of the ILO. And the ILO requires that you have these state benefits because they want to make sure that you have a reduction in poverty. Yeah, they want when people come to do an investment in the country that you have everybody at the airport begging them. They don't want that. So more or less everybody has to be contributing to some kind of benefit. So you have to make a list of all the places where you worked and the countries where you worked. And then now you put in place what we call at Milestones the 7 sources of retirement income. And we're going to talk about that in one of the next programs coming up. So it is very important to make that list. And then now you start now to look at your state benefits. What are the state benefits that are available? Do you have your pay slips? Try and see if you can gather your pay slips. I know a lot of people are going to be laughing on the radio and saying, what she's talking about? Pay slips? I throw with them a long time. We have to keep our pay slips. Because another friend of mine, a client of mine, in fact, got her NIS benefits processed very fast because she had all her pay slips to show them that she worked and that she made the contributions. So there was no mistake. If they had a mistake on file, she had it there to correct it. So keeping the pay slips are also important. So where you worked and the pay slips from where you worked. Key.
Wonderful. I'm hearing a bit of wind coming through your audio. Are you outside or... I'm hearing a lot of wind.
I've moved from the wind, so you can talk. Are you hearing it now?
Yeah, no.
I've moved from the wind.
Yes, I was hearing a bit of wind, like if you were outside. So what we're coming up to the top of the time, and what I'm hearing as takeaways is start a sensitization. We're talking about persons who are in their 20s or just pre-20s, 30s, 40s, and so on. Start with a sensitization. Mm-hmm. Start with a discussion.
Yes.
Start asking questions. As you get further along, you chronologically, you know, you start to get structure. You start to write down all the places where you've worked, whether here in the Caribbean or otherwise, everywhere that you've worked, and start documenting that. Do not throw away your pay slips. Keep all the documentation because when the time comes, it will make things a lot smoother for you to show proof that this is what you have done and you have paid over. So we're talking structure, we're talking discussion, we're talking awareness, we're talking sensitization. And don't it's not a secret, because as you're saying rightfully, in 2014 we shouldn't be talking poverty. And there is money out there, people. For you, all of you, it's not that you are not aware where it is. And can you imagine, Magda, they do find out. I mean, you're supposed to know. You have clients who have found it and just drive past you or fly past you after they have found out. After they have found out. Money they have, they really don't want to know you anymore, right? But
not quite.
Yeah. But then you know you're doing your job, right? You know you're doing
your job. Yes. I don't know if Sandra wants to make a closing comment. Sandra, I don't know if you want to make a closing comment. Oh, she can hardly hear you. Okay, so, you're quite right in terms of how you put the sequence there, and I hope that the listeners will write in or call in and submit any other questions that they may have, and I hope that we provide the kind of clarity which is needed for us to really be successful at retirement financial lifestyle planning.
Wonderful. And the good thing about it is that this is a three-part series, so they can join us again on the 24th and the 30th. At the same time, 1:30, hope that everything goes smoothly. But if not, stick with us, please. Never mind, technology can be a bit fussy sometimes, but we are going to be here delivering, you know, good information, educational information, informative stuff to help you on your way to planning your life and not being in that situation where you find yourself, like most of us at this time, scrambling for money here, there, and everywhere. And waiting for the last minute to do something about it. So, Magda and Sandra, even though Sandra couldn't make a comment before, I want to thank you guys for being on the show, for sharing something and actually bringing back a topic that we kind of push under the rug for many, many years and for the last minute. So I really thank you for bringing back that awareness, especially at this time. We really need to conserve and we need to plan, just like how we plan to save otherwise. This is also a means of saving for us for the later years and for the years that we don't know what happened to us. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Between the Lines, Empowering Authors. How can persons reach you if they should need any more information?
They can reach us at info@milestoneslifestyle.com, or they can mm-hmm. go on our Facebook page, or they can go to our website, which is www.milestoneslifestyle.com. Mm-hmm. And we're on Twitter, mm-hmm. And we are called Retirement JA. So any one of the medium, they can always get in touch with us. And thank
right.
you, too, for having us.
No problem. And I just want to remind persons on the show page that you're looking at, the description page, please remember to sign up for the form to get access to an excerpt of the book, a little preview of what the upcoming book
yes.
is about. Oops, I forgot to say, for retirement, such an applicable and relevant topic title, book title.
Mm-hmm.
And to sign up to get a copy of our last will and testament form and guidelines, I think it's very, very informative for you, especially after listening to what Magda in particular had to say today. So I'm going to be posting those links, all those different social links, Magda, and the ways to contact you on the show page so persons can,
mm-hmm.
can reach you. And we're going to be back here on the 24th and on the
30th. Yes,
so
thank you.
Right. I want to thank
thanks a lot, and happy retirement planning to everybody.
I want to thank you for being here, my audience, and staying with us throughout the show. Your loyalty is appreciated. I also want to remind you to join us again next week for another informative episode by following the show Between the Lines, Empowering Authors, because when you follow the show, you get automatic reminders of upcoming episodes that may interest you. We appreciate your feedback of the show, so keep commenting and tell us what you would like to hear featured on this show. Remember, this show is for you. Connect with me, your host, Corinne, at Facebook.com/HelpDeskJA. That's HELPDESKJA. And Twitter.com/AuthorASSD. Have a wonderful day, everyone.